Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Quinn Matfeld, who's playing Mr. Wormwood in Matilda the Musical at the Kennedy Center. It runs December 15th through January 10th. And thanks so much, Quinn, for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, so our listeners know, we're doing this before the show is even open. Where'd you say you are now? You're in Schenectady?
Currently we're in Schenectady, which I had never been to, and I thought was a name that people had made up. But, you know, like
they made it up
like
for the movie.
Like 555 numbers for movies or something like that. But no, it's a real place, and people live here.
I thought that movie with the late Philip Seymour Hoffman, Charlie Kaufman movie, Schenectady,
right.
New York, was amazing.
Yeah. I loved that movie. It was so weird. The woman who kept trying to sell the house that was still on fire or whatever, it was so bizarre. It was amazing.
Bizarre and symbolic, and it was crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. Well, we don't want to get sidetracked too much, but there you go. You're in. That's the town you're in, and then you come. Yeah. When do you actually come down to DC?
I'm gonna get there probably around Monday, and I think the first show is happening Tuesday evening. That's sort of been the schedule. We kind of load up here on a Sunday, and then we've got a travel day on Monday, and then we start again on Tuesday. So it's pretty hectic, but it's gonna be nice because we've got a pretty sweet sit-down at the Kennedy Center, which I cannot be more excited for.
Yeah,
that was like when we got the the schedule for the tour. The first place I noticed was Washington D.C. and I thought, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to go there. I can't wait to do the Kennedy Center.
It leapt
That's
off
so
the
exciting.
Page.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Where are we on your national tour? Like, how many cities have you hit so far?
Actually, I believe you are 14.
Okay.
I think you're our 14th city. So we've been doing a series of two-weekers and one-weekers. We were just in Philadelphia, and then we had Syracuse and Schenectady. We started out in L.A. for about 7 weeks. And then we did 6 weeks in San Francisco, and then we did three in Seattle. And we've been sort of bouncing around all over the place from there. And then we are doing another sort of little sit down in, not actually a little sit down, a big sit down in Washington, D.C. And then we'll move on to a bunch of one weekers. But I can tell you, everybody is really looking forward to getting to Washington, D.C. and to get to be there for a while because it's such an exciting city and it's such an exciting venue. And we're really pumped to be able to bring this story and the show to the Capitol.
Why were you said it sort of jumped off the page when you saw D.C. Kennedy Center. Why? Just explain exactly why you got so excited. Is it that we have highly cultured audiences here, or that the space is so beautiful, a little of both?
It's both. I mean, you know, you always see the Kennedy Center honors on TV. That's really exciting.
I was just there, man. It was freaking cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was just the other night they had one, didn't they?
It was last Sunday night, yeah.
Yeah, I had a couple of friends that were at that, and I saw their pictures on Facebook, and I was super jealous. And then I won't be soon because I'll be there. But we're really all excited. I'm personally excited because I'm a U.S. history and sort of politics kind of nerd.
Right.
I love biographies about the presidents. I love to read David McCullough and Joseph Ellis and Ron Chernow and all that stuff. And you know, theater and history have a particularly exciting mix right now in the musical Hamilton. So there's a lot of sort of crossover. And for me personally, I want to visit Congress. I want to visit, the Smithsonian. I want to visit the White House. So all that stuff is really exciting to me, just the history and also the Kennedy Center. I mean, my goodness, how often in your life do you get the chance to say, it's one of the things that, when you're older, you get to say to people, I performed once at the Kennedy Center for 4 weeks, which is going to be awesome.
Definitely. Is this your first time in D.C.?
Never been.
Really?
My first.
Well, as the you're talking about the political history and theater colliding, man, you got to stop by Ford's Theater and see that. Talk about history.
Oh, yeah, right? Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
But the Kennedy Center is amazing. We're excited to have you here, definitely. All right, well, let's go into the show a little bit. So it's Matilda the Musical. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty certain, almost guarantee, that all of our listeners, no matter what age, are familiar with the story. Either they read the Roald Dahl novel, or they've seen, you know, there was like a 90s kids movie. You know, there's millions of versions of it. But in case some of the people have forgotten the basic story, I want to hear it in your words. Break down the premise of Matilda in case someone's been living under a rock.
Well, yes, if you've been living under a rock, it's for you, too. It's a fantastic show. It's a show about a little girl who's very, very special. She has an incredible mind, the ability to do calculations in her head, and she reads Dostoevsky, and she's a very intelligent little. When we start the show, I think we start with her birth, but she sort of shows up in the first version. She's kind of like a 5-year-old, so she's going off to school, and she is a really special person in really bad circumstances. And when I say bad circumstances, I'm referring to myself. I'm playing Mr. Wormwood, who is a sleazy, stupid English used car salesman / crook. And her mother really only cares about ballroom dancing. In this version, it's ballroom dancing. In the book, it's bingo. But anyway, so she's in bad circumstances, and there's a terrible sort of headmistress of her school who's very cruel.
Miss Trunchbull.
Miss Trunchbull, yes.
The name that you never forget, that still sends shivers down your spine.
A great comic villain in the show, as I play sort of another kind of comic villain in the show. And right. So it's sort of about her. The thing that I really love about the show is that it's exploring the idea that you are in charge of telling your own story. And if you don't like the way that it's going, you get to change it. And not only by telling, your own story as metaphor, but like the actual stories that you tell yourself. Matilda is telling stories all the time, and her parents make fun of her because all she cares about is books and stories and imagination. It's kind of a love letter to storytelling. It's operating on that level. It's like the stories that you tell yourself and that you tell other people really do have an effect on your life. And so that's something that resonates with me, but I think it resonates with everybody. Storytelling is something that we've done as humans probably before we even, domesticated animals. So it's something that's kind of in our culture and in our blood, and I think Matilda tells that story really, really well.
So do you think that idea, you mentioned, sort of how it's a love note, sort of celebrating the idea of, storytelling and imagination and being, creative. Explain how that is, there's some parents out there listening, why that would be good for their kids to come, or if you're an adult, it might bring out the, imagination of the kid inside of you.
Right. Well, because the thing is that, it doesn't just because we're telling stories and we're using our imagination, we're creative, doesn't mean that we're all going to go off and be artists.
Right.
But that said, there's a reason that we have a National Endowment for the Arts, and that we as a society have a vested interest in telling stories and investing in our artists, because no matter what you do, even if you're an accountant, having that, creative imagination and a mind that that isn't just ones and zeros, it's good for us as a society, right. I think, for people to think outside the box and to have a creative function, even if you don't do something creatively for a living. It's just good. It's one of those things that people tend to think of theater as entertainment, and it is. But it's also that thing where it's, they call it culture, too, because it's good for you. It's going to the theater is good for you, and having an artistic experience is good for you. And this is a show that I think is good for everybody, not just kids, but adults as well. For the kids, it sort of has that Pixar magic to it, right. That there's the great jokes for kids, and you can hear them. You can hear when all the kids laugh in the show, and then you can hear the ones where the adults really get it. And it's great to bring families to. That's one of the things sort of I think has always been true of Roald Dahl, is it's parents reading it to kids and enjoying it just as much as the kids,
What do you think it is about Roald Dahl? I mean, James and the Giant Peach, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Matilda, BFG, Fantastic Mr. Like, it's unbelievable how he cranked that out. But what was, in your mind, what was sort of his secret?
I think one of the things that he doesn't do is he doesn't sanitize things for kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in fact, he kind of makes things a little bit extra dark.
Yeah.
You know, there's this real
dark comedy strand.
Yeah, and weirdness. And it's kind of that Roald Dahl thing where you go in and you go, boy, I'm really glad that worked out well, because if it hadn't, that would have been an awful situation.
Right.
You know, but there's something about independence for kids and
right.
independent thought and imagination and creativity and all that cool stuff.
Yeah. And we don't want to, I mean, obviously, if there's families listening, we don't want to scare off the kids. It's, you know, it's, think about like Willy,
no.
it's, think of Willy Wonka. It's that, it's awesome, but it's a little bit of slightly dark humor there, you know, but it's awesome.
Sure.
It's awesome.
Sure. And it's something that, and that's the thing that I think is amazing about Roald Dahl is that he knew that kids can handle that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's actually fun to be a little bit scared and for it to be a little bit dark. It's nothing, you know, super terrifying.
Right.
All the kids, you know, they love it, and they love it. It has its own sort of magical world
yeah.
to it as well. You know, it's so specific. It's like you're entering a completely its own kind of universe. And so there's something about Roald Dahl that, like I said, he doesn't talk down to kids. He has that sort of wonderful darkness, but it's also in the vein of great imaginative, fantastical storytelling, which everybody loves.
Speaking of that fantastical storytelling, and it's a young kid, you know, who kind of embraces these sort of magical powers around sort of these strict character, authority figures around her. Do you think there would be a Harry Potter without Matilda? I mean, I feel like if you took Matilda out of that timeline, we might not get sort of that idea.
Yeah, you know, well, and I think it's. I think it's not only that, but I think it's storytelling that goes back to, maybe Oliver Twist or Huckleberry Finn. You know, like there's something about the young kid who the story is about kids that are for kids and also for adults that have crazy adventures and stuff like that. So yeah, if it weren't for that, certainly. But there's. I mean, that's a really strong through line in our culture about telling stories about kids having amazing adventures and trying to, you know, and succeeding at outwitting adults.
Definitely.
Speaking for my own character.
She got you again. That's funny. Now, I'm trying to remember, when I first think of Matilda, I think of she uses her telekinesis, right, to move pieces of chalk
right.
and move all kinds of... How is that? So that can be done in literature and, you know, in movies much easier than the stage. How do you guys bring that to life in a live theater setting like that? I don't want you to give away your secret, but, you know, take us into that.
Yeah, that's the thing, is if I give away the secret, the RSC sends, like, the mafia and breaks my legs, and, you know, so I can't be too honest about how it happens, but I will tell you that it happens. We do it on stage. We throw a girl on stage, and she flies around, and she's going to fly around in your imagination and land back on stage, and there is magical chalk, and there are newts, and all of that stuff. You actually see it. We really do it on stage. So there is no dearth of magic, stage magic in this show. It's really exciting and really cool to watch. And when I saw it the first time, when I saw it on Broadway, I went, holy cow, they're actually doing all this. And there's so many moving set pieces, and it really is immersive and kind of amazing how much I guess I'll say get away with. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. You mentioned it was on Broadway. I think it was also at West End in London, I think.
Correct.
And now, so I mean, it's run the gamut. You're seeing a tried and true Broadway show taken on the road.
No doubt.
But since it is a musical, you know, in addition to the mm-hmm. awesome effects and the great storytelling that we're talking about and the imagination, you know, go into the music a
yeah.
little bit. What sort of, you know, let's say someone read the book and don't even associate it with songs, you know, explain what kind of things we might hear in terms of the songbook.
Well, it's great because Tim Minchin, who is, I don't know if you are familiar with his work, but he's a comedian mm-hmm. and a composer mm-hmm. and he's just about the strangest genius you can meet. He's such a he's one of those people whose intelligence is so intimidating when you read his work and you meet him. And then you meet him, and he's so down to earth and such a sweet guy. And
those are the best kind of people, man.
Yeah, totally. And he's really is amazing. And he loves Roald Dahl, and he's loved Roald Dahl since he was a kid. Mm-hmm. And so when he got the opportunity, he said when he got the opportunity to do it, he jumped at the chance, because what I think he and Dennis Kelly have done is taken this story that is part of English cultural heritage and really just Western cultural heritage, and they've made it blossom in a way by giving it music that has the same sense of Roald Dahl, that kind of snarky sense of humor, mm-hmm. and really clever, the wit and the sort of biting commentary. I mean, we open with this song where all these parents are talking about what a miracle their child is, and how, you know, they're super advanced and very special, and they're emotionally developed more than the rest of their class, and it's all these just terrible children, you know, tearing things up and threatening to attack you. And then there's little Matilda, who comes out and sings about how her parents think she's a lousy little worm and she needs to watch more TV.
Right.
And so so what they've done is they've really done a great job of kind of expanding the world in a very, in a way that's really true to the book. And
awesome.
The music is absolutely gorgeous. Revolting Children is a huge, it's sort of a showstopper. Toward the end, it's the one that's always stuck in my head when I'm trying to go to sleep at 2 a.m. there's a great another showstopper number called "Smell of Rebellion," which my good friend Bryce Reines absolutely knocks out of the park as Miss Trunchbull. There's a really fun number called "Loud," which is Mrs. Wormwood doing a dance number, and it's this huge, awesome, amazing dance number. And then I have a little solo rockabilly number called "Kelly," in which I extol the virtues of television.
Rockabilly.
Yeah, it's a little rockabilly. It's a little I don't know. I'm trying to think of they kept trying to tell me it's sort of his TED talk, which is not very smart. They said, you know, get a little loungy, get a little sort of Johnny Rotten with it. So it's a little punky, a little rockabilly. It's fun. It's just me at a microphone, and it's a blast making jokes.
Awesome. That's awesome. I know we got to wrap up soon, but before we go, I mean, sure. tell me about the star of the show, Little Matilda. Who plays her, and you know what makes her so great in the role?
Well, we've got three Matildas. We've got three Matildas currently. We have Mabel Tyler, Gabby Gutierrez, and Tori, whose last name I don't know because Tori just joined the tour. She was on Broadway with us. But we're transitioning into three other Matildas, and so we're going to be transitioning the other Matildas out somewhere. I'm not sure where that's happening, but it is.
So we might have new Matildas by the time you get to D.C.
You're probably going to have a mix of new Matildas, and saying old Matildas is such an odd contradiction considering they're all, you know,
yeah.
10.
Former Matildas.
But, yeah, that's right. That's right. A veteran Matildas. They are amazing, amazing little professionals.
And, you just sort of cycle them through depending on the night?
Yeah, they usually do one every, you know, one gets to do, they go one after another, and there's three of them, so they usually, depending on if it's a weekend or whatever,
right.
But they only do one show in a day, because it's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's cool, but off stage, you know, we're doing crazy voices and pretending to be animals, and then we get on stage, and they're saying their lines, and they're in the moment, and they're hitting all their notes, hitting all their blocking, just like the rest of us have to, and they do it night in and night out, and it really is awe-inspiring that these little 10-year-olds, you know, or thereabouts, have so much talent and so much focus. I think I would never have been able to do this when I was 10. I wouldn't have listened to anything. I would have just been, you know, there's no way that I could have accomplished what they've accomplished. They really are special kids.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like it's so much fun for kids and adults, all ages. We really, really appreciate you taking the time. Again, remind us of the dates. I think it's December 15th through January 10th at the Kennedy Center, right?
I believe that's correct. December 15th, January 10th. Yes. You got it.
Definitely. And, you know, everyone out there listening, you know, it won Tony's when it was on Broadway, and now it's making the rounds, and it's swinging through Kennedy Center here for a nice chunk of time here, like a month here. Get out and see it. What's the final pitch to get people to come out and see it?
Come see it because I have many different colors of hair. my hair changes color. I'll just tell you that.
Throughout the show, you're like a Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, that's right, or Meta World Peace or something like that, sure.
Well, there you go. Yeah. See, come out to see, you know, Quinn's changing hair color, the magic Technicolor hair. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, that's right, Quinn and the Technicolor hair color.
Quinn and the Technicolor dream hair, yeah. Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much, huh?